Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for June 28th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. And yes, indeed, we're convinced the checks and balances absolutely brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. That is the way to restoration. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. A Christian nation is America, regardless of what the naysayers tell you. The truth is, we're a Christian nation. Are we losing our way? Absolutely. Are we turning our back on God? Unfortunately. We hope to change that and repent. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. A couple of tidbits, as well as the recap, starts now. First, our affiliate KLID in Poplar Bluffs, Missouri, they have moved the time of Liberty Roundtable Live. Instead of it being 11 to 1, it'll be 10 to noon. So that's moved us up a little bit earlier in the morning because we come out of the gate with some hard-hitting news and give you kind of the best news update of the day. So we're right on after some local, their shopper show and several shop swap and local news that they have. And then they just launch right into Liberty Roundtable Live for all the news and updates you can get. Thanks for your listenership. Thanks for your involvement. Thank the folks at KLID, would you please? All right, we had our guest on yesterday, former Sheriff Richard Mack, and we celebrated the 20-year anniversary. 20 years ago yesterday, Antonin Scalia wrote the 5-4 majority opinion, which was Sheriff Mack, Mr. Prince versus Bill Clinton in the United States of America. The Supreme Court literally defended Sheriff Mack and said, look, the poor sheriff is caught between keeping his oath of office and the law Bill Clinton's trying to shove down the state's throats. There is dual sovereignty. The states have no obligation to obey the feds on this issue at all. Anyway, we talked about that Supreme Court case. We talked about Joyce Riley passing away. Our prayers are with her loved ones. We're so thankful for her patriotism and her leadership. And we know that she lives again. All right, the Supreme Court declined to hear a Second Amendment challenge. It had to do with carrying guns in public. Of course, the Supreme Court gave no reasons for their rejection of the case. The court has turned away numerous Second Amendment cases in recent years. So in my mind, that's sad. The Supreme Court needs to defend the Second Amendment, folks. All right, the EPA, believe it or not, literally, I guess EPA officials pressured scientists on congressional testimony for an agenda. That's the EPA's agenda. Yeah, I don't think heads are going to roll, though. But emails show that they had congressional testimony and the EPA was pressuring scientists. Criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen. But again, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, is a criminal organization. It's unconstitutional as all get out. It's a rogue weaponized agency designed to destroy the supreme law of the land. Don't let it happen, folks. Stand up for the Constitution. Stand up for liberty and reject criminal agents or elements or rogue groups within government. We talked about students sentenced to prison for registering dead people to vote. Kerry Pickett wrote the piece. You heard me. Students sent to prison for registering dead people to vote. Now, I thought there was no vote fraud. Well, if somebody was sentenced to prison for signing up dead people to vote, how can the government or the liberals or anybody else claim there's no vote fraud going on? People are literally going to jail over vote fraud, folks. Wow. White House says the CBO, that's the Congressional Budget office or whatever, they have a history of inaccuracy, writes Alex Pfeiffer. Well, the White House is correct. The CBO has been inaccurate many times. But why just run around and say, oh, they've been inaccurate? Why not shut them down? If they're inaccurate, they're unconstitutional, they have no authority, just shut them down and save the money, Donald, would you please? That was hour one. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. Norm Singleton, president of CampaignForLiberty.org. And believe it or not, Republicans and Democrats alike, Democrats in 2010, Republicans now literally saying, we've got to pass the bill so you can see what's in it. They're crazy. Ron Paul says the GOP healthcare plan fails the Jimmy Kimmel test. This is not promised repeal on healthcare. This is amend and enhance, sad to say. Wow. Anyway, the bottom line is good news on the health care. They've shut it down. It will not pass before the July 4th recess. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. Senator Hatt on VidAngels technology. I want to find a way for everyone to win on this issue. Hatt said in a statement, he believes that Americans should, families should, individuals should be able to filter their content. Well, got to give Orrin Hatch credit once in a while. He rarely deserves it, but in this case, he's spot on. The whole Utah delegation providing the lead for VidAngel and ClearPlay and others to literally let Americans watch clean movies. Isn't that an awesome opportunity? Shame on Hollywood for fighting this. Hopefully, Hollywood will take a page out of the playbook, though, and decide to have cleaner movies as a result of the clear, in my opinion, mandate from families to Hollywarped. We talked about how to live to be 100 years old. Secrets of the world's healthiest village revealed. And bottom line, you got to eat a ketogenic or keto diet for the most part. Very high in fat, medium protein, low carbs. You got to have moderate exercise and lots of good clean water. Simple lifestyle changes such as consuming less sugar. That was more powerful than any medication doctors could prescribe. Did you hear me? Simple lifestyle changes, such as consuming less sugar, more powerful than any drug the physicians could prescribe. Wow, is that tremendous. Anyway, we had a great show yesterday. It is available on demand at your fingertips, libertyroundtable.com. It is on the Roku. It is on the Amazon devices, the Dot and the Echo. Liberty Roundtable is everywhere via libertynewsradio.com. Online as well. Now that's a recap. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Mr. Kurt Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. I need to deliver this next piece with a little bit of finesse, Kurt. There's very few people reporting on this. We are, though, and it starts now. We talked about Michael Savage and Alex Jones and others, Alan Wayne Root and others saying, you know what, America is being driven towards a civil war. And I sadly believe they've got a point. I want to reject that narrative, though, and focus on the good in America. I want to do my very best to educate people to not push towards war, whether it be civil or external. And I really want to encourage people to reject this hate-filled narrative that divides people. Even Ted Nugent, of all people, is saying we got to back away from this rhetoric, and he's right as rain. All right, now, we've also got a problem in America where government, on the local level, pretends they got to obey the feds on everything. When you and I talk about legitimate, nullify now, Tom Woods articulates this, the well-known doctorate, Harvard graduate, wrote a book called Nullify Now, talking about how there is dual sovereignty. Richard Mack's Supreme Court case decision, and Antonin Scalia wrote the main decision there, basically saying, look, there's dual sovereignty in America. The states and the feds have limited jurisdiction, but relating to foreign affairs primarily, and the states have broad options, or broad governing capabilities, directly related to the domestic reality. And so they're dual sovereignties because they have shared power based on the consent of we the people, the governed. All right. Now, with that in mind, those two topics seem to be, what are you talking about, Sam? War and, well, the way the governments should have separation of powers? That's exactly right, because here's what's happening. The local governments, on one hand, pretend they have to obey the feds whenever they want to sell us down the river. Whenever it's standing up for America, they act like they don't have any authority to do so. Right? But when it comes to selling America down the river, they literally thumb their nose at the federal government. I'll explain and give examples in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News of the Networks Refused to Use talk station.
When a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around in or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people on there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32. And improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so a lot of conservatives say we're hurtling towards civil war. Others say we're at global war, and I pray that we can avoid both. Sadly, they've got some valid points, but I believe government is really a lot of the cause of us hurtling towards this faction, this division, on every fault line seemingly possible. And the example is the local and state leaders are saying when it comes to something they want to sell us down the river on, they have no ability to defy the federal government. When it comes to backing same-sex marriage, when it comes to suicide, when it comes to, then they, you know, say they got to toe the government line. When it comes to funding or education, they got to toe the government line. When it comes to, you know, bathroom policies and, you know, gender bender issue, they got to obey the feds. And when they want to sell us down the river, they just obey the feds. Whenever they reject, they just do whatever they want to. They thumb their nose at the federal government. And I believe this is causing one of the greatest rifts in America today and creating a significant bender towards lawlessness. And I bring that up because when it comes to marijuana, the states are just saying, hey, fly a kite, feds. We're going to do what we want. When it comes to sanctuary cities, letting illegals be in the country, they're violating the federal government big time. Now, what's wrong about this is I believe nullification is a justifiable, appropriate, check and balance, dual sovereignty principle documented by the supreme law of the land, by the supreme courts, by the checks and balances, legitimate. There is nullification appropriate. However, remember this dual sovereignty issue that I talked about that Antonin Scalia wrote about in the Mack Prince versus U.S. case 120 years ago yesterday. And that is this. There are dual sovereignties, but that doesn't mean that they're fighting over sovereignty. It means that we, the people, have given consent and given certain jurisdictions to the states and other jurisdictions or other responsibilities to the Fed. And I mentioned that the states deal with the domestic affairs. The feds deal with the foreign affairs. So when it comes to a foreign affair like protecting the border, the states have no authority to defy the federal government when it comes to sanctuary cities or illegality. They need to cooperate with the defense of our borders with the federal government. When it comes to marijuana, though, look, the states can nullify and do whatever they want to. Not that I'm for marijuana. I personally am against it. I think that getting high and doing drugs is not good for you. And so I reject it, but I don't believe the federal government has a stake in it. Same thing with, you know what, traditional marriage. I think the states and the feds ought to work together to defend traditional marriage domestically and overseas or internationally. Now, I bring all that up, though, to set the stage for this Civil War discussion. The states are literally thumbing their nose at the federal government. I submit to you that this is going to be one of the greatest reasons that America divides and turns into almost like tribes if we're not very, very careful. The headline from the WorldNet Daily exclusive says Trump faces rebellion from more than 267 mayors. What they are saying literally is screw the federal government, writes Leo Holman over at WorldNet Daily. And he talks about this climate change accord that Barack forced us into. And good for Donald Trump, Donald nullified and said, we're not doing that. I'm backing out of it. Good for the Donald. He's right. Now, the mayors, though, on these local cities are saying, we're going to reach out. We're going to write an international letter. We're going to circumvent the Fed. We're going to just communicate with and back this climate change agreement anyway. Now, this is where the states and the local municipalities don't have authority. Now, you can say, well, Sam, they can nullify the Fed and do what they want on climate change. You're right. They can. I agree. What they can't do is reach out internationally and create agreements that circumvent the Fed. Remember, I talked about dual sovereignty. There is appropriate authority on delegation or delegated to the federal government by we the people who have given our consent for the federal government to deal with our foreign affairs, for the states to deal with our domestic affairs. And so the cities have no authority to reach out and make international quote agreements and circumvent the federal government in this case. And to do so is to thumb their nose at government and to literally violate law and violate the will of the consent of the governed. In other words, we the people. We have delegated authority to deal with our foreign affairs to the federal government, not to cities. So sanctuary cities have got to stop. This reach out, 267 mayors defying the federal government. These people are criminal, and they've got to stop. And I'm telling you, it'll lead to a civil war if we're not very careful between the states and the feds, between the states and, quote, international bodies. They're embarking on a dangerous precedent. Kurt, did you see this story and you want to respond to this?
I have been reading the different ones about the whole idea that we're close to civil war and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know that certain places are close. I believe America has different areas where, you know, the, I guess you could say the explosions can go off more than others. I think you've got a lot more family friendly areas in certain places, and then you've got
that's right. So I say as a nation, we're not close yet, but Chicago's certainly close. I mean, look, you got people dying left and right in that city every single holiday. You know, hundreds of people die and stuff like that. It's pretty much a war zone there, whether you call it a civil war, a turf war, a gang war, or whatever you want to call it. It's going on, and the divide's getting greater. But I'm submitting to you that the cities have no authority to reach out internationally and make individual agreements that thumb their nose at the federal government, Kurt. There's no authority for that.
Yep. Well, that's right, but I mean, we've seen people do things that were...
oh, yes, but it's up to us to call a halt to it and to stand for what's correct. It's unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. The cities also have no authority to be sanctuary cities and circumvent the federal government when it comes to to controlling our borders and protecting our nation either. We've given that responsibility internationally to the federal government as well.
Good point. You know, there's this whole Kingmen kind of group that basically like to, you know, while they want to be king themselves, or they want to at least support somebody who wants to do that, and then they hope to get higher office that way, you know, and we hope to, not do that. We hope to pull that kind of power down and,
amen,
and change those things and make them right.
Now, I bring that all up, though, because it's funny when it comes to the healthcare law, the states act like they have to go along. They're just, it's a mandate. They can't defy if they want to. That's an example where they need to tell the feds, you don't have any authority over health care, we're going to nullify now. See, there's an appropriate response based on supreme law, based on checks and balances, based on appropriate, by the consent of the governed, delegated responsibilities, folks. Anyway, need to make that clear. Just wanted to educate folks on that. By the way, Sarah Palin is in the news. She filed a lawsuit. It's a defamation lawsuit against the New York Times, saying the newspaper published information about her, and they published a statement about her they knew to be false, Kurt.
So you're saying the New York Times didn't tell the truth?
That's exactly what I'm saying, and Sarah Palin's mad, and she filed a lawsuit. Now, Donald threatened to sue the New York Times, too, but Donald wimped out and didn't get it done, did he, Kurt?
That's the way it seems like. I mean, but... I mean, this is really shocking, Sam.
So Sarah's got more moxie than the Donald.
Yeah, well, I like to see it. A little while back, I remember them publishing something that said, hey, we're going to quit lying, and I think they were lying about that.
That's for sure. But all I'm telling you is the Donald could, you know, follow the woman and, you know, jump on Sarah Palin's lawsuit. We could create a class action. They've lied about me, too, and I've forced them to retract.
Well, it's an important part of the system, I believe, that if an individual takes that power, the power of the press, and uses it unlawfully, then I guess that's the area for redress of grievance.
But you know what's fascinating about this, Kurt, is that James Edwards, the political cesspool talk show host syndicated by Liberty News Radio, one of our fellow co-hosts, joins us on Liberty Roundtable Live once a month. He even beat Sarah Palin to the punch. Donald talked, and James literally filed a lawsuit against the Detroit newspaper. And that suit's winding through the courts now. So really, Sarah Palin is just jumping on the bandwagon of James Edwards. And Donald and Sarah and all those guys and James and me and many others could just create a class action lawsuit against the New York Times. I would invite that. We'll see where that all goes. Meanwhile, four major journalistic retractions from CNN this month alone, Kurt. Did you see that?
You know, I did see a little bit. I didn't know there were four.
Well, three CNN journalists have been literally forced out. They say, some say that they resigned. Others say they were let go after botched story on Trump-Russia connections.
There you go.
We'll talk about that coming up in second. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. It would appear that the Syrians may not have used chemical weapons back in April. The Syrians and the Russians both said no weapons were used, yet the story persisted. Activists produced pictures of dead and dying people supposedly suffering from sarin gas. President Trump seized on the situation to berate the Obama administration for what he calls its weaknesses. The evidence showed Syrians using conventional weapons to target a jihadist meeting. Details of the attack were provided by Russians days prior to coordinate with a joint operation. Senator Rand Paul says he has an idea on how to fix health care. His plan used to be pretty much an American idea, but it's fallen on hard times. The senator's plan would use what he calls freedom to lower health care costs. Paul said of the Senate plan, Obamacare is failing in the individual market, but the best way to fix it is through freedom. Everybody seems to be afraid of it. What we should do is legalize inexpensive insurance. To help people who have pre-existing conditions, the senator would tear down barriers that prevent people from getting into group insurance. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The fake news prostitutes and the liberal media taking a beating, to say the least. Sarah Palin files lawsuit against the New York Times. Our co-host James Edwards files lawsuit. He went to it first, a Detroit newspaper. And now four major journalistic retractions. From CNN this month alone, they've been forced to apologize. I forced the New York Times to retract as well. Three CNN journalists resign after botch story on Trump-Russian connections. Kurt, they're just getting started. They're taking a beating, sir, for their journalistic missteps. Or you could say journalistic intentional perversion. It depends on what, you know, playbook you want to grab a page.
Well, you could
from.
Say lies.
Oh, good point. Yeah, lies. That's right. Snafus, whatever you want to call them. Now, believe it or not, even the federal media is fed up, Kurt. Even NPR and others are starting to get kind of sick of it. I mean, they're liberal by nature, but they're not going for the lies that are being told. And so now fed up media is literally launching assault on lying media, writes WorldNet Daily. They're just sick of it, Kurt. The media is lying so much. CNN, New York Times, you know, Huffington Post, a lot of these liberal rags, to where even liberal but credible to some degree media is losing patience with it. NPR and others, you know what? They're liberal. They've got their liberal bent on stories. But you know what? They're, for the most part, intellectually honest in the sense that they're even going, wait a minute, you just can't lie. You just can't show images and promote and make excuses for attempt assassinations, mock assassinations on the president and things. You just can't do that stuff. And even the liberals are getting separated about this now, where the rabid crazies are just running off psychotic. And even liberals are going, wait a minute, we just can't go along with that anymore. And Judge Napolitano reporting some pretty interesting news as well, Kurt.
Well, yeah, good point. You know, the headline from the boys at InfoWars on this Napolitano said former Attorney General Lynch could face 5 to 10 years in prison. Subheadline, Senate probes improper communication between former AG or Attorney General and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You know, I believe that people would really like to see a cleaning of the house in,
Amen.
In all areas of government. And this is a would be a step in the right direction.
And by the way, Kurt, it wouldn't be liberal or conservative or right or left or Democrat or Republican or anybody else. It would be accountability for illegal activity. Criminal actions would be prosecuted.
Imagine that. Not just people like you and me for like a stop sign or a speeding ticket, but, you know, even, you know, our kings and queens, I guess.
Now, what do you think? You think Judge Napolitano's right on this, Kurt? Do you think she's really going to face 5 to 10 years?
Well, you know, he says could face. I think it's a long stretch, but I do appreciate Napolitano's, you know, his wisdom is
credible
pretty good.
Credible candor. Amen.
Yeah, you know, it all depends, I believe, on the real courage of, in this case, senators, which... Courage in senators is a
contradiction
phrase
that, in reality.
You know, yeah, it doesn't usually.
Now, by the way, though, the Donald could bust out and quit the talk and start the walk and help prosecute some of these people. He threatened lock them up. Lock her up was the Hillary chant. That should certainly apply to Bill Clinton meeting with Loretta Lynch on the tarmac. And then,
yeah, you
Loretta
mentioned
Lynch
earlier
to,
this thing about foreign affairs, and I thought, well, I don't know anybody who's more familiar with foreign affairs and domestic affairs than Bill Clinton, but anyway, you know, that's...
Yeah, I mean, he just isn't involved in affairs in any way the word can be interpreted or, you know.
It's sad to say.
All right, I guess the Senate good news forced to delay their vote on legislation to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. They tried to get, you know, get their bill brought up and passed before the recess. They're not even going to get a debate, that sucker. There's too many dissenters, Kurt. What you got is you got a coalition between the, quote, liberals and the Democrat reality and then the true conservative Republicans. They have different reasons, but they're on the same side, which is we're not going to move forward with this legislation that's a sellout. The liberals say it's a sellout because it doesn't, because it takes away too much. The conservatives are saying it doesn't go far enough. Either way, though, the people in the middle are getting hit by traffic going both directions there, Kurt. But the Senate vote's been...
Yeah, that's the usual, isn't it? When you don't have any principles, you know, you just get run over with traffic going both ways.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good point.
All right, the GOP, part of that healthcare scenario, and part of the reason that this is a debate, Curtis, you got the pro-life and pro-death folks battling it out. Some are Republicans, some are Democrats. But the GOP is waffling on the abortion ban. And waffling on the provision to defund Planned Parenthood, writes Liberty Council Action. Our buddy Matt Staver over there reporting on it saying, hey, your Republicans are about to sell you out on the pro-life message. Donald should help speak up on this, Kurt. If there was one issue that's most important for the Donald Trump administration, I told you from the beginning, it is pro-life. And this is where the rubber meets the road. The crux is in this debate regarding health care. And the GOP is waffling on the abortion ban. And we need Donald and conservative leaders to stand up everywhere. Anyway, thought I'd bring that to your attention.
Yeah, you know, you remember, it seemed like when we've traveled, I think it was down south, that they have what's called Waffle House. You know, maybe that would be a better term for, you know, Congress. They could just put a big sign up there and call it the Waffle House, you know, because
yeah,
they waffle.
Good point. No, they'd probably get sued by the real Waffle House.
Good point. Yeah, that's right.
And the real Waffle House, by the way, is liked by many people, Kurt. That kind of Waffle House nobody likes.
Good point. So, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't even win the popularity contest there now. All right, BMW's in the news, huh, Kurt? Kind of an interesting twist.
You know, they're adding jobs, Sam, and they've got a plant in South Carolina that I suppose not too many people know about, but the headline reads BMW adding 1,000 jobs at South Carolina plant, and they're going to invest $600 million in the plant there in what's called Spartanburg, South Carolina. They say the investments will boost annual production to as many as 450,000 vehicles. The plant is already the company's largest final assembly plant in the world and had employed more than 9,000 people. So, you know...
Hey, that's more jobs than I ever heard coming out of the Barack administration, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. And the story goes, the German automaker said it will add another 1,000 jobs and invest all this money. They quote the Harold Kruger. Now, I was thinking it was Kroger, but, you know, this is Kruger, like the Krugerrands, I guess.
Kind of like Christmas.
There you go, Kris Kringle. He's chairman of BMW.
Isn't that Kruger's Christmas or whatever it is? Mr. Kroger's.
But anyway, he's the chairman of BMW, and he said, it's a great day for us here in Spartanburg and South Carolina and for the BMW group. The workforce will be well above 10,000 people, which is, in my view, clearly a symbol of success. A little more detail on it. The same guy said, you can build cars in the United States, but for every car that comes to the USA, this is what Trump had told the German newspaper earlier, and he says you'll pay a 35% tax. So this is when they were planning on going to other places. The CEO there says they deny that BMW is spending and hiring in South Carolina as a way to placate the president. Oh, yeah.
What about a way to do the right thing, Kurt?
Yeah.
Why do we want to placate or play game? Look, do the right thing. Also, I still haven't seen that 35% tax kick in on them foreign vehicles, though, yet, Kurt.
No, I haven't either.
Well, here's to praying.
Yeah, that's right. All right. I guess down at the end of the story, talking about the tariff, they say the president or the CEO of BMW is not worried after his conversations with the president. He says, we explained when I was in Washington with the German chancellor and had the opportunity to talk about our business here in Spartanburg, and the president acknowledged how successful our operation is here in South Carolina. I could argue and explain that one to the president that our success is based on free trade because we are the biggest net exporter for the United States.
Huh. Facebook growing like a weed 5 years ago, 1 billion users, now 2 billion. We'll talk about it.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Yeah, that's right. TechCrunch announcing 5 years ago, Facebook hit 1 billion users. Everybody celebrated, but that ain't cool anymore. Now Facebook hit 2 billion monthly users, TechCrunch is reporting. That makes Facebook the largest social media network in the world. USA Today notes it's now bigger than any country. That's an interesting milestone, to say the least, Kurt. And that's a very scary story, and wait till I get to the next headline. But your thoughts on that first. 2 billion users for Facebook. That's a little less than a third of the world.
What I want to know is, do you think they're accurate? Do you think they're real users?
No. I think you got a lot of fake users. I think you got a lot of users, too, like me, for example, where I have a Facebook page, a couple of them, several of them, in fact, that I put up for business. And I've got an account, but I rarely get on it. I mean, I use it once in a while, and I'm not against it, and I probably should spend more time on social media, but I don't have the time. I think a lot of people are not consistent users. I think a lot of people are you know, thinking Facebook is a little bit yesteryear kind of stuff already, believe it or not. And, you know, they say people are into photos and on there looking up past old flames, and I don't have any old flames to look up, Kurt. I don't want any part of that. And, you know, so all I'm telling you is that it is the largest social media network, and they certainly have a lot of play. Now, here's the next headline that I find dovetails nicely and is incredibly interesting as well. Headline says this: Google and Facebook earn about 50% of all global ad dollars, Kurt. Two companies, Facebook and Google together, earn 50% approximately of all global ad dollars spent. The rest of the companies on the planet left with the other 50% to split up, I guess. No wonder we can't get any support or any money, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's a great point. I saw Axios.com has the headline, Tech Giants Eating the Advertising World. I think that goes right along with it.
Yeah, you got that right. Anyway, so 50%, though, that number is shocking. 2 billion users for one platform. And then literally 50% of the ad dollars going to just two companies. There's a global consolidation happening that'll knock your socks off, folks. All right, the Department of Homeland Security is in the news, DHS, if you will. They're going to start building what they're calling border wall prototypes this summer. They're going to do it in the San Diego area to start, writes Ron Nixon. Now, this is interesting, Kurt. They're going to do prototypes on the border, and they say that illegals are going to encounter all kinds of different border wall types. And what they're going to do is they're going to put up the different types and see which ones are best at deterring illegals and this and that. And it's kind of a big border wall case study as they prepare to build the real wall. It's a precursor, a pilot study, if you will, per keeping Donald Trump's promise. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, you know, maybe they could do a new reality show kind of thing of, you know, hey, who can climb the wall better and have different walls, you know, that kind of thing, huh?
Well, I'm not really too excited about just building a bunch of different prototypes for the wall. It sounds like a delay tactic to me, and I don't know why Donald would invest in Homeland Security to do that. Shut down the unconstitutional, rogue, weaponized agent known as Homeland Security. But nevertheless, testing all these different walls, and I don't know if they're going to test for height or they're going to test for, you know, solar panel capabilities on the wall or, you know, I'm not sure exactly what's going to go into this, but I don't trust Homeland Security to do anything, Kurt.
I sure feel secure knowing that Homeland Security's on the job.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you're feeling a lot better. Are you going to go down and help on the wall with some of the construction down there, Kurt? Are you going to live report from down there?
I, as far as I can tell, I have other obligations.
You can stay in your son's house in Tucson now and roll to the border and check it out, Kurt.
That's a great point, yeah.
Or you can just live in California. You can just hang out at the homeless shelter in SoCal and roll across the San Diego border and keep track of that there for the Donald and stuff.
Yeah, I'll probably plan on that for sure.
Kurt Crosby, roving reporter for Liberty Roundtable Live, down on the Mexican border, reporting on the wall. You know, I don't know if they're just trying different materials. I'm just not sure, Kurt. But you'd think you'd come up with answers faster than this, wouldn't you?
Well, it's at least there's some progress.
All right, there's a Florida handyman, Kurt, you haven't heard about. The guy's name is Carlos Cash. C-A-S-H-E is how you spell his last name. And anyway, Carlos Cash is like a handyman kind of a guy, okay, Kurt? And I guess it turned out that he got pulled over. Police mistook drywall powder on his car seat for cocaine. And, well, they arrested the sucker, and he had to languish in jail for 3 months. And they did a bunch of research and found out that it was drywall powder, just like the gentleman claimed, Kurt. It wasn't cocaine at all, and they had to let him go.
The speedy trial only took 3 months?
Well, that's the reason I bring up the story, is I've got a problem with this. It's going to take 3 months to test if that powder's drywall or cocaine. And then we're literally, folks, going to hold this guy for 3 months. I guess the reason they held him for 3 months is before. I guess he had some marijuana in the car and he got busted for some pot. And then I guess before he got in trouble for some cocaine. And so they just assumed this time it was cocaine as well. My problem with this whole thing, as you wisely point out, Kurt, there is no speedy trial in this case. 9 or 3 months is forever when you're sitting in jail every single day. I don't think you'll be working your job anytime soon. So that's a concern. The other concern is this due process of law. A speedy trial is part of that due process. You know what? What gives them the authority to detain this guy and hold him and lock him up for 3 months. Anyway, poor Carlos Cash, he's going to need some cash to get out of there. And I wonder if he had a lot of cash or a lot of popularity or fame and fortune, if he would have rotted there for 90 days or if he would have got free based on his cash, Kurt. The only problem is he didn't have cash. He was just named Cash. If he wasn't named Cash, but he had cash, would probably have a different outcome.
Well, yeah, just imagine if it was like Bill Cosby that they found like that, or, Bill Clinton. Would he have spent, 3 months languishing in prison?
Depends on who was in prison with me there, Kurt.
Yeah,
I'd love to languish with the right kind of people. I'm just saying. You know, maybe I could host some luncheons with the wives of the senators and the congressmen, and, I could just entertain. That'd be sentencing that I'd
maybe he and Joe Biden could hang out, but languish and the word anguish in this case really kind of go together.
Yeah, good point. All right, anyway, there you have that Carlos Cash story. TheFreedomCoalition.com is where we do our very best to defend innocence in prison. Carlos Cash is one of them. They had to let him go because he was innocent, but why hold him for 90 days first? Folks, it's wrong. All right, by the way, did you hear about the Good Samaritan, Kurt, that was hanging out at the baseball game?
Good Samaritan at a baseball game.
Roger that, yes, sir.
No.
Here's what happened. This Good Samaritan's hanging out, and he sees this 2-year-old little girl wandering around. And he looks around, he doesn't see any parents around anywhere, and he kind of freaks, thinking, oh my goodness, this girl's alone. And so he grabs a little girl by the hand, and then he starts walking her towards, people, and he starts looking around for the parents. Cool, good thing to do. Good Samaritan, doing a great thing, right? In fact, Alabama, the country group, even sings a song about this guy that was an angel that helped somebody out like that, right? Angels Among Us, you ever heard of that?
I think I might have.
All right, good. Anyway, this guy was doing that very thing. And, well, it didn't go very well for him because here's what happened. He eventually found the dad. But the second the dad saw this man walking, holding the hand of his daughter, the dad freaked, unleashed on this guy, and beat the crap out of the Good Samaritan, Kurt.
No good deed goes unpunished.
That's for sure. Anyway, the bottom line, though, is this dad says, hey, I don't believe this guy's story. He's lying. He was trying to kidnap and, my daughter. He's a child's predator and molester and etc. And so this dad and his family and friends literally went to social media, Kurt, branding this guy a child predator. And they had his photo plastered across social media over the weekend, all because he tried to help this lost child. Now, here's the deal, Kurt. They did some investigation into what really happened. And an investigation revealed that the Good Samaritan was indeed trying to help, because at least one witness independent witness saw him trying to locate the parents of this little girl, asking people, hey, you know what? Has anybody seen parents that have lost a girl or whatever? And he's asking multiple people and walking around doing this. And believe it or not, officers confirmed that the man who has two children of his own was at the baseball game visiting friends who were off-duty police officers. Now, the guy is a good Samaritan more ways than one because he tried to help the girl. He got the crap beat out of him for it. Evidence shows that he was the good Samaritan that he claims to be. He was not a predator in any way. And after he got the crap beat out of him, he was offered the opportunity to press charges against the little girl's father. The good Samaritan, Kurt, declined to press charges related to the assault. And it turns out that I guess now the man has left town with his family in fear. That's according to NBC Miami. I don't know what's going on around here, Kurt, but this is getting crazy now. I get the dad's anger thinking, oh my goodness, someone's got my daughter, and he freaks out. I get all that. What I don't get, though, is when you find out the truth, not believing it and posting it to social media. I also don't get beating the tar out of this guy. Why wouldn't you at least talk and try to find out what's going on? All I'm telling you is that what have we gone to in America when one guy's locked up for 3 months because he has drywall powder on his seat of his truck and he's innocent? 90 days later, he's let go. Now another guy tries to be a good Samaritan and protect someone's daughter and literally gets the garbage beaten out of him. Now he has to leave town for fear for his family because they literally unleash on social media on the guy and he's innocent. Ladies and gentlemen, thefreedomcoalition.com, we've got innocents in prison everywhere and innocents being abused everywhere because the liberal, extreme, belligerent media keeps ratcheting up these division lines at every turn. We've warned about it for decades. It's got to stop. We've got to stand for God, family, and country and pull together and pray together and stay together as family and country and do our very best. Anyway, I'm grateful the man was a good, honest, peaceful gentleman, and he declined to press charges. That is great news. But we've got to stop this absolute ratcheting up of everything, folks. It'll lead to civil war in America. I pray that it does not. But I'm telling you, I don't see things healing or getting better. And it will not until we turn to our God. LibertyRoundtable.com. Get involved and donate today. We declare this nation shall endure.